just a couple of words here to say about like this day. You know, it's called Palm Sunday because people laid palm branches on the under the feet of the donkey. And I kept thinking, we keep coming back to these beasts of burden that like, you know, we know that there's a donkey in the Old Testament. That donkey belonged to whom? Balaam, right? And that donkey was given what? A voice. It's something that we're taught, like in homiletics class, you know, the science of preaching. What kind of science does God need for preaching? He just needs a donkey with a mouth. So that really puts us all in our places, you know. So that's just the way it is, you know. But when you think about it, here's this other beast that's outside of Jerusalem, and he's given this honor, you know, he's given this honor to carry Christ into the city that he will reign in. It's the first entrance of Jesus. And we just think about, like, when we hear Jesus say, the last shall be first, it's like it's demonstrated again and again. Actually, it's really demonstrated in the name of God. If you look at the Hebrew writing of the name of God, if you look at the word Yahweh and you read it in the Hebrew, Yahweh begins with the smallest, tiniest letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Yud. It's like a really tiny letter. And that's the first name of God is the smallest letter in the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. There's some tall letters, there's some wide letters, there's some fat letters in that alphabet. There's 22 letters in there. But this small little smudge of a letter, the Yud, is the one that begins the name of God. And when you think about how Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the place that'll be like gloriously transformed at some future time that we're all waiting for, how did he come in there? He came according to the prophecy that he would come riding on the foal of a beast of burden. And so that's the way Jesus entered. And the children, it's like all of the less and the least. It's like there was a German philosopher that said that religion, Christianity especially, is for infantile people. Thank you. That's the truth. It's all right. Because when you get too smart, you've come to a tree of knowledge and you start eating all the things that make you think, you know. And we're getting to those places where we're thinking things that people thought we'd never think before. And children know the difference of a lot of different things. That's a tree, that's a bird, that's a dog. You know, children, yes. And God came into his great, glorious city on something so insignificant in the grand scheme of things. A donkey will never win the Kentucky Derby. Never. No matter how much, anyway, you can never make a donkey that fast, but a donkey did bring the King of Glory to his city, and it's always going to be his city. It's a promise from God. That city, as much contention as it might bring to the world, is the city of God. And how did Christ get there the first time? On a donkey, with children singing. Wow, that's amazing. So that's it. So let's pray. Should we pray for the offering? Okay. Or let's pray for the offering. So nothing is too small. If you've had a donkey of a week as a salesperson, if you've had a donkey of a week, it doesn't matter. Just throw in what you got. Put it in through the internet or on your smartphone, whatever you do to give today. And remember, those envelopes there, scholarship fund for our Bible college. You put something in there. Are they there? Oh, they're not there. Okay, never mind. Sorry. I've got a note here on that, but they're not on your seat. So maybe next week. All right. So, Lord, we just pray for this offering. Bless it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at that text. You may be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. do I have my iPad? No, I can't use that. That's right. All right. Do you know the fundamental difference between you and an unbeliever? What's the fundamental difference between you and someone that is not a believer? Vertical. Awesome. That was that last Sunday? Horizontal, or was it Wednesday? No, Sunday. Wednesday was, Atonement, no? Okay. The horizontal life that is natural for us, and there are areas of life where people are thinking very differently from us. But you see, they work in the same place, they drive the same cars, live in the same neighborhoods, but there can be a huge, and there is a huge difference. And I want to point it out to you today in our message. I want you to, we're going to go to Romans 8, but I need you to read this text, chapter 2 and verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Whenever I read that word perfect in my New Testament, I understand it means not perfection in the sense of 100% perfection, but in the sense of usefulness, in the sense of purpose, in the sense of direction, that we actually are, or the word, a word mature is sometimes translated the word perfect. We speak wisdom among them that are mature or going somewhere, that are finding the purpose in life. They are growing, maturing. Verse 6, we speak wisdom, and this is a very big word in our Bible, wisdom. It has to do with our mind, and it has to do with obedience and submission to God. It has to do with God. God is wise. He's the only wise God, and this wisdom is from above, not from below. There is the wisdom from below, which is natural intelligence. But just because somebody's intelligent doesn't mean that they are wise in our context, in our understanding. So verse 6, we speak, for example, a man could be very clever with computers, and he can use a computer to steal money from other people or the bank. He could be a very good talker and very gifted in language, but then he is telling lies. He could be very energetic and sincere and committed and dedicated, but then also trick somebody and deceive them. So they lack wisdom. Verse 6, but we speak wisdom. These are the apostles and pastor teachers and all of us as believers. We have a gift of seeing through things and understanding life in a different way. Look at verse 6 again. Yet not the wisdom of this world, excuse me, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. And I think of Pontius Pilate as a prince of the world back in the time of Christ's crucifixion. For if Pilate had the wisdom, he would not have been so politically looking for the avenue for political advantage. He crucified Christ because he just couldn't stand up. And yet three times he said, I find no fault with the man. He tried to get Jesus out of it, and he scourged him, he beat him. He thought that would placate the Jews. I honestly believe that Pilate wanted Christ to go free and move on, but he couldn't do it. Pilate could not do it. It's an amazing profile of leadership when you see Pilate and what he had and how he did it and how our world is operating all the time by these people who are lacking what we're reading about here. Go to verse 6 again. Not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that comes to nothing. So their leadership actually, from a divine viewpoint, it comes to nothing. It's more trouble, or it moves along a line that ultimately is a line of destruction. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Meaning it's not obvious. Our reasoning isn't clear to everybody. I met somebody the other day, an older man. He said, how long have you been married? I said, 46 years. He said, I've been married 48 years. I said, wow, that's amazing. I said, I can say that for my marriage, it's all God. God has given us so much, God. And I saw his face change. I saw his reaction, his reserve. And he said, I don't believe in God. I am a scientist. And I thought later, I said, well, what's that got to do with it? I'm a car mechanic. You know, I don't believe in God. I'm a baker. I don't believe in God. I'm an airplane pilot. What's that got to do with it? But I didn't say that. I wasn't fast enough to say it, and maybe I was wise not to say it. So verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. They do not understand us. They do not understand us. They do not understand us. But we understand each other. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That means in the anointing, in the communion with God in our presence, speaking to our hearts. God is with us. We have something. We are understanding God. We are loving God. We are walking with God. We are learning God. He is opening our hearts to him. We love him. This has really happened to us. Look at how it reads, verse 7, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. It's actually our glory is our way of thinking. It actually is our wisdom that is different. It actually is to our honor, honestly. You will feel it. You will walk down your driveway, go into your house, and you actually will feel the honor that is from God. You drive to work and you go to bed at night, and you actually will feel the honor that comes from God because of the wisdom and the communion that you have with God and the Holy Spirit. And you find things in the Bible from God that build you up, that speak to your heart, and it's just very pleasant. Psalm 19, it's like honey, Proverbs 4, rubies and gold. It's a great honor. The women are weeping at the cross. This is the Easter season, and the women are there. There's a group of women, three or four of them, and they just are staying there with Jesus. And the Roman soldiers could have easily gotten rid of the women. The soldiers could have just said, boo, and they could have tried to get rid of them, ordered them out, drawn their swords, forced them away, but they didn't. And I was thinking about that. Those women are like us. And we are compelled. And it's wisdom and honor. We are talking about them today. They had a mind. They had a way of thinking about it. They loved Jesus. One was the mother of Jesus. And they loved Jesus. They had devotion to Jesus. And this is really what we're going to see in a minute. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Meaning Pontius Pilate, Caiaphas, the leaders. They did not know. And they don't know today. They do not know. They do not know about what is in our hearts. They don't know how it is that we are thinking about life. They don't know about the coming kingdom of God coming on the earth. They do not know about Jesus returning a second time. They do not know about the rapture of the church that's prophesied. They don't know about the past in the Bible. They don't know about the present of God in the present. They don't know about the future coming kingdom of God. They do not know it, and they don't care about it. And by the way, if you told it to them, it's foolishness to them. Our wisdom is foolishness to them. They have no interest. They do not pick up a Bible. They do not go to a meeting. They don't want to have a conversation. They have no interest in it. That's what it's saying here. Verse 8. None of the princes in this world knew it, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would have been with the women. They would have been with Jesus. They would have been worshiping. They would have asked Jesus, tell me the parable again. They would have been seeking. They would have desired it. They would have gathered at the Last Supper. They would have listened to the teaching on the atonement. They would have heard about the nature of sin. They would have been broken in their hearts, but they did not know it, they did not care about it, and they had no capacity for it. Verse 9. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man, these things, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You cannot get a photo of it and put it on Instagram. You cannot capture it and post it on social media. You cannot bring it to the heart of a person, humanly speaking. It can't be learned in kindergarten or high school or college. It has to be revealed, verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Is that true? Is it true that God has revealed to you by his Spirit who is Jesus Christ? As he revealed it to you by his Spirit. Do you have it in you? Do you have the Holy Spirit crying, Abba, Father? Do you have the Holy Spirit saying, I want to believe? Like, where? I want to follow you, Jesus. I can't see you. I'm not hearing you, like with these outside ears. It's not in my heart. But, actually, I'm drawn to you. I am alive to you. I am born again, regenerated. The Spirit is in us. And this is the primary difference between us and the people that are around us every day. Every day in this world. I don't believe in God. I am a scientist. It's like, okay, yeah. I don't go to church. I've been to church. I read the Bible 3 times. It's like, okay, you know. I got a degree in it. I went to theological academy or school or seminary. Where I've been to church all my life and on and on. And people can talk like this and say a lot of things about it. But this is amazing. Go to verse 10 again. It says, but God, and this is the big, this is the beautiful thing I feel about us. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The vertical relationship with God is the deep things of God to the deep part of man. The deep part of man, right? The spirit of man, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man? I remember when I was like, I don't know, I was sixth grade, fifth grade. I was walking home from school. And I remember this. I got the idea, like, I don't think my mother really knows me. And my mother was like the closest person to me. My mother was awesome. My mother loved me. My mother was there for me all the time. She was compassionate and kind, and she could look at me and understand me. And if I cried, she could comfort me. My mother, but then the thought came to me, maybe I don't even know myself who I am. And I think even my mother, God forbid, my mother doesn't even, no one knows me, but God, who knows you? Only the deepest part of you, verse 11. What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man? That is a small s. That means it isn't about spirit of, you know, the parade, the spirit of the Ravens, or the spirit of a high school, or the spirit of poetry, or the spirit of entertainment, or something. No, it's a word about our spiritual constitution, that we are spirit. We have a capacity for connection with the eternal. We have actually a hunger for it. We are knowing that nobody really knows me, because we are very deep. Remember the story with the woman at the well and Jesus? And Jesus said, the woman said to Jesus, the well is very deep, and you have nothing to draw with. And I've always thought of that as a metaphor for human beings, that people are very deep, and Jesus, you can't go there. That's what we think. Mom, you don't know who I am, or my friends and so on, or even myself, but I don't know why that happened. But Jesus answered the woman at the well, and he countered it. The well is very deep, and you think I can't go there. But if you asked me, my heavenly Father would give you water and you'd never thirst again. This he speaks of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So we have a well, so to speak, and it's very deep, but nobody can go there except God. And this is the reason why the human race is suffering, because they don't have God. They don't have God. That's the problem. We have sin. And we're packaging the sin all the time by our leaders, like Pontius Pilate. Just cannot face it. He cannot face it. Our leaders, they are unrighteous, ungodly many times. And I pray for them. I love many of the godly men in government. You know, I love the fight that they fight. By the way, the sanctity of life and the precious fetuses, babies, and the great big problem that we're looking at in many levels of life is like it takes something deeper than just our society and our culture. It's deeper. You shouldn't care so much about what the world is saying. You care more deeply about what God is saying. You shouldn't worry about what people agree with you or do not agree with you. You should be caring about people that are in a lot of trouble in their lives. They don't understand. There's like four things. They don't know how bad sin is. They don't know how bad it is. They don't know what sin does. They don't know, understand it. They don't know who God is. Number three, they don't know where they go after they die. Number four, they don't know about a new world coming. They're in la-la land about the world that we are living in. They have no idea. They think differently than us. They don't have an answer. They don't have any revelation. They don't have any joy. Have you noticed it? I think we've come down another notch to joylessness, that people are not having a good time. There is not joy. But this is it. Let's go to the text there. It says in verse 11, "For what knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." Greatest blessing in your life is the filling of the Spirit, the governance of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, the holiness of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The greatest thing we have in our life is the work of the Holy Spirit that's happening in our hearts and our minds. This is a great gift to us. "The Lord set me on a rock higher than myself. Lord, do not judge me according to my sin, but according to your loving kindness, be gracious to me." And the Spirit of God says, "I am gracious to you. I correct you. I love you. I teach you. I guide you." Verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." Have you ever discerned the spirits of the world? The spirit of the world. Have you seen that the world is filled with lies and there's a spirit in the world and they are talking a lot and advertising a lot and selling a lot of things, and there's groups of people, and there's like they link up sinners with sinners. Like, all of us are sinners, don't misunderstand me, but because of our salvation, we are not carnal, we are spiritually minded, and we mind the things of the Spirit. We are not minding the things of the flesh. We are not paying attention to the things of the flesh. There are many things we are willfully ignorant of. We have no interest in it, for we have another interest, another way, another interest. We have the Spirit of God that teaches it. We have received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How much did it cost to be Spirit-filled? Nothing. It's all by grace. A hearing heart, a believing attitude, nothing. Trust. And we are filled with the Spirit. How did you receive it? Freely given to us of God. What are you understanding in life? New things. Fresh things from the Spirit of God. new things and attitude from the Spirit of God, the new life of Christ, the understanding that comes from the Spirit of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak. What do you mean? We're speaking the things that are freely given to us. We're speaking about grace. We're speaking about our joy, our faith. We're speaking about Christ. We're speaking about his kingdom coming. We're speaking about the kingdom here now, the love in our hearts for people. We're speaking about truth. We have a Bible study and people get excited in their hearts. And they maybe quietly go home, but the spirit is burning in their heart. More than 40 years ago, we were living in Finland, and there was a revival. And the revival was such that people wanted to be with us. Like, they wanted to be with us, so we got a hotel out in the forest, out in a place, a suburb of Helsinki. It took 45 minutes to drive there, and the driveway back into the woods was like a half a mile long, and the bus would drop you off, and you had to walk the road, and there were like stories. We all have our stories, and it started with 15 people. We ended up with 70 people living in that place, 70 people. And we walk on that road, and there are a few houses along the way. And the people, actually, it was written in the paper that the people had reported to the police that they thought we were on drugs. And so the police did an investigation. I remember they came out to the house. They made an appointment with me and a few others, and they interviewed us to find out, are we on drugs? And I said, well, why would you think that we're on drugs? And they said, because the neighbors say when they're walking home, they're laughing and talking, and they're together, and they're having a good time. And I said, well, that's normal Christianity, that we are Christians. We talk. We laugh. We are living together there. And they look around, and it was like an awesome testimony. And it was written in the newspaper that the neighbors had contacted the police, and they had this report about us. But you know what it meant? They came from different parts of the country of Finland to live there. They moved from other cities from 10 hours away. Why did they come and live? Because they were spiritually hungry. And I mean, they asked questions. They sat and listened. They took notes. And one of them said, why don't you start a Bible school? And I'm like looking around like, who's going to teach in it? You are. So we started Bible school. We had 4 hours every day, Bible school. And somebody showed me the book, like we made a little book for the class, the name of the class and the teacher. And like my name is in there, like in all the classes. Pastor Goff did one. And later Pastor Morrison came and he taught. But there were just a couple of us teachers, and we're doing the full curriculum, 3 years of Bible college. We sent out missionaries to China, Thailand, Russia, Eastern Europe. Good things happened. Look at the verse again, please. Verse 13. Which things also we speak. What things? The things unknown to the world, but are being made known to us by the Spirit. The Spirit is speaking. That's why you want to listen. That's why you have new concentration. That's why you want to learn what is the Bible saying. And you focus on God. That's the difference between the start of our message. What's the primary difference between a believer and an unbeliever? The believer has a new ability to be focused on God. He loves God. He has communion with God. He has a new heart. He has God in his life. Talk about God. Isn't that fun? Very simple, but powerful. You know, by the way, talk about God during your day. You know, car is the, you know what? I bought this car. God is helping me make my payments. Another narrative. I bought this car, and I don't think God wanted me to buy this car. And I can't make the payments. But God forgives me, and God just keeps trucking. God is good. God is loving me. Isn't that amazing? Oh, yeah. There's an emptiness. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of foolishness. There's a lot of people like Pontius Pilate. And he can't find any fault with Jesus. And by the way, do you know who else couldn't find any fault with Jesus? I got to finish up here in a minute. Do you know who couldn't find fault with Jesus? Listen to this. Judas Iscariot. He couldn't find any fault. He betrayed him. But he couldn't find any fault with him. He lived with him 3 years. He was with him in all the teaching, the miracles and everything. And at the end of the day, Judas betrayed him. But he could have. Why didn't he go to be with the priests at the trial? Why didn't he give a testimony against Jesus? He said nothing against Jesus except, I have betrayed the innocent blood. My conscience tells me that man didn't do anything wrong. And Pilate knew it. He said, I find no fault with him. And you know, when the priest in the Old Testament would take the lamb, that for 4 days before the slaughter of the lamb, they had to examine the lamb. They had to watch the lamb. They had to take a look under its legs, look around, go through its wool, and see its eyes, ears. It had to be a perfect lamb. And in a way, at the last week of Jesus, it was what was happening to Jesus. Like Judas couldn't find any fault with him. Pontius Pilate couldn't find any fault with him. And he became the sacrificial lamb to atone for our sin. That's something the world does not know about. They do not care about it. It's foolishness to them. But to us, it's our wisdom. It's our treasure. It's what's changed our life. It changes our thinking. It's what's anointed us. That's given us something more. There's something more in your life when you're in the kitchen, when you're just doing your duties. Just always remember that. There's something more in my life when I'm driving the car. There's something more in my life when I'm going to sleep or waking in the morning. There's something more in my life. You are called. You are chosen. You are anointed. You are spiritual. You have a heart after God. You have a hunger in your heart. You have words. You have a new life. You have new footsteps. You have a new hands. I can't steal with these hands anymore because we are bought with a price, and he owns our body, our hands, our eyes, our ears, everything about us. He purchased us by his blood. This is a new kind of way of thinking that you and I have because of him. I didn't get to Romans 8 because I did this. So let's just finish it and we're done. Verse 13, which things of the word we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. By the way, I'm educated. I'm an educated person in some measure. But there are a lot of things I have no interest in it. I have no interest in what man teaches. I mean, I don't know if I could sit through that. Yeah, it's like, you know, I can't. Are you kidding me? You're crazy. Are you saying that to yourself sometimes now when you look at the news and follow what's going on in New Jersey and other things? Like, they're nuts. They're crazy. What's going on? It's like, okay, okay. But me, I have you guys. I have you guys in Jesus. We have each other. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We don't care about what man's wisdom is teaching. We are finding what God is teaching. He helps us raise our family. He helps us forgive each other. He helps us when we fail. He helps us when we get tired. Listen to this one. He helps us when we get old. He helps us when we can't move around like we used to and do the jumping jacks and everything. And maybe it'll come back to you. But God is a healer of our body and our soul and fills us in the Spirit. I mean, man's wisdom, whatever he's saying, okay, that is what it is, but it's going to go through a filter with me because I've got the verse 13. We have the Holy Spirit teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. This message to a lot of people would mean nothing to them. It's foolish to them. But to us, it's our life. It's our future. To us, it's our decisions. It's our hearts. To us, we are after God. We have found God. But to us, it's our life. It's amazing, isn't it? Okay, so that's all. Lord Jesus, thank you for this chapter and these words. And someone in the auditorium, I want to just encourage you, you are not carnally minded. You've been born again. You are now spiritually minded. You have life and peace. You don't worry like other people. You are spiritually minded. You're not lying and cheating and caving like Pilate, like other people. No, you got salt and light in you. Jesus, thank you for this chapter, and may it apply to our lives. And then anyone here that's not a believer, come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus as you are. Bring all the baggage, bring it all, everything, out of the cellar, everything. Out of the depth of the well is very deep, the woman said. Yes, you've had 5 husbands. You spend day and night thinking about your life. And where is true love? What is the meaning of life? Where should we worship? Yes, yes, this woman, the well is very deep, but I am Christ. I am God. Come to me. Trust me. Do it today in Jesus' name. And tell somebody about it. Tell them I'm born again today. I've got a new birthday, a spiritual birthday. I'm believing in Jesus today. In his name. Amen.